There are 10 people who are the most powerful in the United States of America. 10. They are the president, of course, President Trump. And the other 9 are the justices of the United States Supreme Court. 9 of them. We are really ruled by these 10. The decisions they make ultimately affect our lives, show us or force us how to live, and ultimately decide through interpretation the meaning of any law or the determination of any so-called constitutional right. Boy, that is powerful. The Supreme Court is presumed to be objective, but in fact, it is not, as almost everyone knows. When the court is fully appointed, there are 9 justices so that every decision will have a majority. But in so many cases, the 5 justices of the 9 make decisions one way or the other, so that all it takes is the opinion or vote of 5 Supreme Court justices, just 5, and we the people are told how to live. Isn't that incredible? 5 people really rule our lives. The composition of the present Supreme Court seems equally divided. 4 so-called liberal justices, and 4 conservative. Those who vote conservative in almost every case are Justices Thomas, Alito, Roberts, and Gorsuch. Those voting liberal are Ginsburg, Kagan, Sotomayor, and Breyer. And then there is Justice Kennedy, or there was Justice Kennedy, who was regarded by all as the so-called swing vote. Unpredictable, perhaps having voted for conservative positions for the most part, but very likely a wild card in certain liberally decided cases. Justice Kennedy resigns and moves on July 31, 2018, coming up real fast. And now comes a new nominee from President Donald John Trump, and let the political wars begin, and boy, will they ever. Democrats and liberals have vowed to fight the nomination any way they can, no matter who it is, and to defeat it, so says Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. But Majority Leader Mitch McConnell vows the very same determination to confirm the new justice, whatever it takes. You know, it seems as though we just finished senatorial confrontation and argumentation with regard to the nomination and confirmation of Justice Neil Gorsuch. Now, here it comes all over again. So, my fellow Americans, let the political wars begin, and they can be very, very nasty. The Wall Street Journal has stated that this consequential jurist, Justice Kennedy, has done the country a favor by retiring. The Journal notes that Justice Kennedy's jurisprudence has provided the 5th crucial vote in numerous cases, defending the First Amendment's rights to free speech and religious liberty. Boy, that's a good thing. We're going to miss that. Kennedy prioritized individual liberty, even when it clashed with tradition. Justice Kennedy was appointed by President Ronald Reagan. Reagan, that far back. Reagan, of course, presuming that Kennedy was, in fact, a true conservative, when he actually was not. Reagan was mostly right about Kennedy, but not altogether. Kennedy's vote might have seemed to have been inconsistent, for, on the one hand, he was diametrically opposed to Obamacare as being a violation of the Commerce Clause. On the other, Kennedy was the 5th or the swing vote which found in our Constitution the brand new right of gays to marry. It was difficult in almost every key case to determine how, in fact, Kennedy would vote. And that led Justice Sonia Sotomayor to state, "There is no doubt that Justice Anthony Kennedy had a most significant effect on the Supreme Court and its decisions." Yes, he did. But the resignation of Kennedy was in fact a favor for the country, at least for conservatives, for it gave President Trump the opportunity to nominate, rather than Hillary Clinton, or the possibility of a Democratic president nominating in 2021. Trump could nominate, and everyone knew that Trump's candidate would skew conservative. So the president went to work identifying potential candidates with the help of the Federalist Society. Boy, that's a good organization. And the Heritage Foundation, another one. And with the sagacious advice of Leonard Leo, the Federalist Society executive. By the way, Leo steered the decision-making for Justice Gorsuch's selection and helped with his election to the Supreme Court. This august group identified some sterling candidates for justice. The first was Brett Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh has spent the last decades on the country's second most powerful bench, the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit. Appointed by President George W. Bush, Kavanaugh indicated that he subscribes to the late Justice Scalia's maxim that a judge's job is to interpret the law, not to make it or to make policy. Kavanaugh believed that the judicial branch needs simpler, more consistent methods for sorting out constitutional controversies, believing that the law had become too manipulated and was leaving state regulatory powers unchecked. When a candidate like Kavanaugh identifies with Justice Antonin Scalia, one can expect decision-making which truly abides by the Constitution. And then there was a second finalist, and that was Judge Joan Larson, nominated by President Trump to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals in May of last year. Judge Larson had served as an associate justice on the Michigan Supreme Court. The philosophy of Justice Larson could be summarized in this statement of hers. Judges should interpret the laws according to what they say, not according to what the judges wish they would say. Right on. Sounds to me like another constitutional conservative candidate, does it not? And then there was a third candidate, and a third finalist by the name of Justice Raymond Kethledge, who was appointed to the Sixth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals by President Bush in 2007. Kethledge has had a most distinguished record on this circuit court. A man who is brilliant, a true legal scholar, and the writer of very convincing and constitutional opinions. Good man. And then there was another final candidate, one Amul Thapar, nominated by Trump to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit in 2017 and confirmed. Mitch McConnell referred to Judge Thapar as the second South Asian American judge to serve on a federal circuit court. McConnell believed wholeheartedly that Thapar was indeed a qualified judge with an impressive legal mind. Another excellent candidate. And then there was another final candidate for nomination by President Trump, one Amy Coney Barrett. Remember her? Oh, what a great lady. And boy, was she ever put through the ringer. She was that law professor, you know, from the Roman Catholic Notre Dame University, a professor in whom, in the words of Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, the dogma runs deep, a real aggressive attack on Judge Barrett's religion. Totally unfair, and by the way, totally unconstitutional. Coney, against every warning and prohibition by the Constitution, was skewered in confirmation hearings by liberal and radical progressive senators because of her faith. That disgusting bias notwithstanding, Coney was indeed affirmed, and she should have been, and she was appointed to the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in May 2017. Coney is highly intelligent, an excellent student of the law, and one who firmly believed that the law should be applied as is, no matter the faith or belief of a justice. What more can she say? And then there was candidate and potential nominee Thomas Hardiman. Judge Hardiman was the runner-up choice for the Supreme Court vacancy as a result of the death of Antonin Scalia in 2017, runner-up to Justice Neil Gorsuch. Hardiman had joined the 3rd United States Circuit Court of Appeals in 2007, when appointed by President Bush, and served with extreme distinction. Hardiman would have made an excellent Supreme Court justice then and would now. And finally, on the list of 7 finalists, was Thomas Lee of Utah, an associate justice of the Utah Supreme Court, and he had been that way for the past 8 years. And as with others, this man had a brilliant legal mind, wrote very incisive and penetrating opinions, and was highly respected by his judicial peers, state and federal. Ah, what an incredible list of candidates, all seven of them. All seven of them fully qualified, in my opinion. Don't you agree? Any one of these excellent candidates would have been a top-notch addition to the United States Supreme Court, if, and only if, he or she could survive the brutal confirmation hearings sure to come. It is believed that President Trump called Chuck Schumer, leader of the minority Democrat Party, to seek his counsel. In a brief conversation, Schumer warned Mr. Trump that no candidate nominated should ever have as an objective doing away with Roe v. Wade and abortion rights and, of course, the newly adopted constitutional principle of gay marriage. In short, said Schumer, those cases definitively decided the law, you know, stare decisis, have you heard of that? That is, it's been decided, leave it alone, and should not be modified in any way. You know, my fellow Americans, it will be interesting to see how the nominee approaches those issues which will be sure to arise in the confirmation hearings. Boy, I can't wait to hear the questions and the answers and then the rebuttals by those progressives. And so, at the 11th hour, President Trump chose Brett Kavanaugh as his first prioritized nominee for the 9th Justice of the United States Supreme Court. This good man has spent the last decade on the country's second most powerful bench, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit. Remember that Kavanaugh was a George W. Bush appointee, and Kavanaugh has publicly stated that he subscribes to the late Justice Scalia's maxim that a judge's job is to interpret laws, not to make law or policy. In his learned legal essays and speeches, Kavanaugh has argued that the judicial branch needs simpler, more consistent methods for sorting out constitutional controversies, believing that the law had become far too manipulated and was leaving state regulatory powers unchecked. It will be most interesting to see how Kavanaugh votes and decides if, in fact, he is confirmed. The court after Kennedy will indeed be most interesting. Theoretically, if Kavanaugh is confirmed, the Supreme Court will have a decidedly conservative bent, with 5 justices labeled as conservative and 4 as liberal. And that could change the course of jurisprudence and legal decision-making for years to come. But many believe that there will be no radical departure to the right as a result of Kavanaugh's confirmation. For there remains Chief Justice John Roberts, who can be himself both a legal and political wild card. Remember Roberts voting for Obamacare? Roberts will certainly not want the court to overturn the gay marriage case so soon after it was decided, so that the court, his Supreme Court, does not seem to be too political. And the very same with Roe v. Wade. That has been the law of the land for almost one half century, itself only decided by a 5-4 vote, and it is highly unlikely that the Roberts Court, led and directed by Chief Justice John Roberts in terms of decision-making and what the court should deal with and decide, would overrule stare decisis, that is, been there, done that, that's already been decided, especially on a 5-4 vote. Democrats and liberals, in terms of their two chief worries and concerns, they seem to have little to worry about in that regard, however unfortunate that may be. So the legal battles begin, my fellow Americans. Do they ever? Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican from Kentucky, has promised to hold the hearings as soon as possible. Those hearings will be rough and tumble, even brutal. Kavanaugh may be subject to attacks, both personal and judicial, even unfair and demeaning. But such is life in Washington, D.C., civility long gone. And that civility seems never to return. Why are our politics so brash and brutal and dirty? We should watch with intense interest those debates, don't you think? And those hearings, and those attacks, and we should hope and pray that the right decision will be made. Kavanaugh is indeed one good man, and I think he is the right man for the job. He would make an outstanding jurist, an outstanding justice of the Supreme Court, and be one for years to come. He's only 53 years old. I, for one, hope his confirmation takes place. I do. Do you? And then there is Justice Ginsburg and Justice Thomas, Clarence Thomas. They are both in their middle 80s in age and perhaps themselves near retirement. Wouldn't it be fascinating if President Trump, in 4 years, had the opportunity to nominate 4 candidates for the Supreme Court of the United States? That would be unbelievable. And that might, of course, be a modern-day record, if not one for all times. But that one for another day. On to the Kavanaugh confirmations, and may the right decisions be made for our great country. Our great country, our very special Supreme Court, and most importantly of all, for we the people.